All right, deep divers, welcome back. Today we're going to take a deep dive into something that's pretty relevant right now. You know, the 2024 US election is heating up, and we're seeing a lot of talk about cyber misinformation. We've got this Cyber News Live article, and wow, this stuff is really something else.
Yeah, what really struck me is how they point out that this isn't just a new thing, you know? This article highlights that allegations about misinformation on social media, it's been going on since January.
So it's not just the usual election year drama. It seems like something bigger is going on.
It's definitely a whole other level this time around.
Yeah.
And the article talks about how misinformation is latching onto existing anxieties people have about the election.
Oh, yeah. Like all the talk about non-citizens voting or if mail-in ballots are really secure. Mm-hmm. And then there's the whole debate about whether voting machines can be hacked. It feels like those concerns have been building for a while.
Exactly. And that's where misinformation really thrives. It takes those existing worries and twists them. And the article points out how they often use those breaking news alerts to make it seem even more convincing.
So they're playing on that feeling of needing to know what's happening right now, that urge to be the first one to share the latest news.
Exactly. It makes it hard to tell the difference between real news and, you know, clickbait. The stuff that makes you pause and think, wait a minute, is this even real?
And I bet social media just amplifies all of this, right?
Oh, absolutely. This election in particular, we're seeing rumors online that blend personal stories with these broader narratives. And that blend makes it all seem so believable.
The article even mentions videos going around that supposedly show people admitting to voting illegally, even though they weren't citizens. But they use the word allegedly, so it makes me wonder if there's more to the story.
Right. And that's the real danger. These videos could be edited or have fake subtitles, but they look real on the surface. And for some folks, that's all it takes to believe it, especially if it already aligns with their existing beliefs.
It's funny in a way, isn't it? This article talks about how social media started as this platform for free speech, but now it feels like it's become this breeding ground for misinformation. Do you think the social media companies have played a role in this shift?
Well, things have definitely changed since the last big election in 2016. Social media policies have evolved, and while the intentions might have been good, some argue that these changes have unintentionally opened the door for more misinformation.
And then you have deepfakes adding a whole other layer of crazy to this whole thing. I mean, the examples in this article are both hilarious and terrifying. Trump riding a cat with a rifle, Kamala Harris dressed like she is in some communist propaganda poster. It's almost comical, but the implications are serious.
Yeah, the danger with deepfakes is how real they can look. We're wired to believe what we see. And when technology can manipulate videos so seamlessly, the average person has almost no chance of spotting a fake.
So you could have a deepfake video going viral that completely changes people's minds about a candidate, and most folks wouldn't even know they're being tricked. That's a scary thought.
It really is. And then there are phishing scams, which also exploit the same anxieties we were talking about earlier. You know, you're already worried about election security, and then you get an email that looks like it's from some official source.
Asking for your personal information or maybe even donations.
Exactly. It's super important to be extra cautious during an election. If anything looks even a little suspicious, don't click on it, don't reply, and if you can, report it.
So it feels like we're in a tough spot here. Is there any hope for an election where the truth actually wins out in this digital age?
Well, that's where it gets interesting. The article outlines 7 strategies to fight back against misinformation. It's almost like a battle plan for truth. And I think it gives us some real hope.
Okay, so what's the first line of defense?
Media literacy education. It starts with equipping people to be critical thinkers, you know, teaching them to question what they see online and verify sources.
So being able to spot those red flags, knowing the difference between real news and a source that just looks legitimate.
Exactly. And understanding those misinformation tactics like the sensational headlines and emotional appeals. They even use evidence that can't be verified.
Which makes me think about how important fact-checking organizations are. They're like the truth warriors out there, exposing those false claims.
They are, and supporting them is so crucial, whether it's through donations or just sharing their work and helping to spread awareness about what they do.
What about the social media companies themselves? Can't they just remove all of this harmful content?
Content moderation is a huge challenge, and the article acknowledges that. It's complicated. There are genuine concerns about censorship.
Yeah, because who decides what's misinformation and what's just a different opinion? It feels like a dangerous path.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
But this article also pushes for more transparency from these companies. We need to understand how their algorithms work, how they choose what we see. And ultimately, users should have more control over their feeds.
So it's not just about deleting content, it's about giving people the tools to make informed decisions about what they're consuming. That makes a lot of sense.
And that leads to another important point, responsible sharing. We all have a responsibility to think before we hit that share button. Is it from a credible source? Have we taken even a minute to double check?
It's so easy to get caught up in the moment and share something without really thinking about it.
And those impulsive shares can have big consequences, especially during an election. You're not just sharing a link. You're potentially spreading something that could influence someone's vote.
So we need to be more thoughtful, more critical, and more willing to pause before we share something that might not be true.
Exactly. And here's the cool part. Technology could actually help us. The article mentions how AI tools could play a role in identifying and flagging misinformation.
That's really interesting. You mean algorithms that can spot patterns and inconsistencies, maybe even cross-reference with facts?
Precisely. It's still a developing area. And of course, there are ethical considerations, but the potential is there.
And lastly, this article emphasizes the impact of public awareness campaigns.
Right, because this isn't just a problem for tech companies or journalists. We all need to work together to educate people about misinformation and give them the skills to navigate this complex information landscape.
So government agencies, nonprofits, even schools and universities, they all have a role to play.
Absolutely. The more people understand misinformation, the less effective it becomes.
We've talked a lot about different strategies, but there's one more I want to explore a bit further. It's the idea of governments and tech companies working together to fight back against misinformation. It's like forming an alliance against those spreading lies.
That's a great point, and it's definitely worth a deeper dive. So this last strategy, it's all about governments and tech companies teaming up, you know, like using the power of technology to fight misinformation right at the source.
So instead of just trying to defend against it, we're going on the offensive.
Yeah, exactly. We already talked about how AI could help flag suspicious content, but this goes even further. Think about algorithms that can actually trace back where a piece of misinformation came from. They could see how it's spreading and maybe even pinpoint the people or groups behind it.
That's kind of wild, almost like a digital detective. But wouldn't that raise some concerns about privacy? You know, like turning into some Big Brother situation.
That's a really important point, for sure. Finding that balance between security and individual freedoms is key.
Yeah.
But what this article argues is that this collaboration, it doesn't have to be some Orwellian nightmare. It's about using tech responsibly, being transparent, and having the right safeguards in place.
So maybe the focus should be more on finding those massive disinformation networks, not tracking every little thing people do online.
Right, exactly. It's about going after the root of the problem. Those who are intentionally spreading lies to manipulate public opinion. This kind of collaboration could also involve creating tools to help people verify information more easily.
Like some kind of built-in fact-checking feature, maybe right on social media?
Yep, or maybe even a universal verification system that works across the whole internet. Imagine being able to quickly check the source of an image, a video, or a news article with just a couple of clicks.
That would be amazing. It would give people so much more control over what they see and believe online.
Exactly. At the end of the day, that's really what this is all about. It's about giving individuals the power to be critical thinkers, be responsible about what they share, and be informed citizens.
You know, when we started this deep dive, I was feeling kind of overwhelmed by all this. Like, misinformation was this unstoppable force. But now, I don't know, I'm feeling more hopeful.
I get that. I feel it too. The problem is serious, and it's not going away, but we're not powerless. By taking action individually and working together, we can create a stronger information ecosystem that can resist this kind of stuff.
So for our listeners out there, what can they do? Where do we even begin?
Well, the first step is just awareness. Understand how misinformation works, you know, how it spreads and the impact it can have.
So basically, we need to be informed ourselves before we can do anything else.
You got it. And from there, it's about taking those actions we've been discussing. Fact-checking before you share anything, supporting trustworthy news sources, and being wary of anything that seems too sensational or tries to play on your emotions.
And if we see something that seems off, we can report it to the platform or a fact-checking organization.
Every report helps. And don't underestimate just talking about this stuff with your friends, family, colleagues. You know, the more we raise awareness and encourage critical thinking, the tougher it gets for misinformation to spread.
It's almost like we need to develop a collective immunity to misinformation.
I love that because it's true. You know, just like with a virus, the more people who are immunized through education and awareness, the less likely it is to spread.
This article really focused on the election, but it feels like these ideas, they apply to so much more. Misinformation isn't just a political problem, is it?
Not at all. It's everywhere these days. Health, science, finance, you name it. We're bombarded with so much information all the time, and figuring out what's true is getting harder and harder.
So all these strategies we talked about, critical thinking, sharing responsibly, recognizing those manipulation tactics, we can use those in other parts of our lives too.
Absolutely. In fact, they're essential for navigating the world today. It's not just about finding information anymore. It's about evaluating it, putting it into context, and figuring out if it's credible.
Which honestly feels like a lot to ask of people, especially when they're just trying to get through the day.
It can be overwhelming, for sure. But I really believe we can rise to this challenge. Humans are adaptable. We've dealt with information overload before. Think about the printing press, the telegraph, the internet itself. All these things cause disruption, but we adapted and learned to use them for good.
So you're hopeful that we can figure out how to handle this new era of misinformation?
I am cautiously optimistic. It won't be easy, and it's going to take a lot of effort, but we have the knowledge, the tools, and the resilience to build a future where we can trust the information we rely on.
Before we move on, I want to leave our listeners with a final question to think about. We've been talking about misinformation in the context of elections, but how can we apply these strategies to stay informed in all areas of our lives? Misinformation seems like it's everywhere these days.
That's a fantastic question, one that really deserves more attention. We've touched on some important ideas today: media literacy, critical thinking, sharing responsibly, and I really encourage everyone listening to think about how they can use these ideas in their own lives, you know, to evaluate the information they see and make informed choices. Staying informed is a journey, and it means being alert and questioning what we see and hear all the time.
That's a great point. I think that's a perfect way to transition to our final part for today. Thank you so much to our expert for breaking down this complex and important topic and for giving us hope that we can handle all of this. And to our listeners, stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, stay critical. We'll be back in just a minute for the final part of our deep dive.
It's funny you mentioned that, because the article actually brings up how those same tactics they use in elections are showing up in other parts of our lives too.
Oh, really? That's a little concerning. Like what?
Well, they don't go too deep into it, but they do point out how that emotionally charged language, you know, and spreading unverified claims through social media, even those deep fakes, it's not just a political thing anymore.
So you're saying that playbook they use to try and sway voters, they're now using it to, like, manipulate consumers or influence people on social issues,
yeah. Maybe
even mess with the stock market.
Exactly. And we're seeing this play out across a bunch of different areas. Take health and wellness, for example. You've probably seen those crazy headlines about miracle cures or dangerous side effects. That stuff spreads like wildfire on social media.
Oh, yeah, all the time. And it's so hard to know what to believe, especially when you're talking about something as important as your health.
Right. And the problem is, those misleading claims can actually have real consequences. Someone might avoid going to the doctor because of something they read online, or they could waste money on products that don't work, or even worse, something that's actually harmful.
It feels like the stakes are even higher when it comes to health.
They definitely are. And the same goes for financial information. Misinformation can spread through those online investing communities so quickly, people might make risky decisions based on just rumors or manipulated data.
Oh, wow. I can see how that could be really bad. People could lose their savings, their retirement funds, all because they believe something that turned out to be fake.
It happens more often than you think. And then there's the impact on social issues. We've seen how misinformation can really divide people and increase polarization. You know, it turns complex problems into these oversimplified us versus them narratives.
It feels like we're constantly bombarded with information, and it's exhausting trying to figure out what's real and what's not.
It really can be. But the good news is, those strategies we talked about for dealing with election misinformation, those can apply to these other areas too. It all starts with being a little skeptical about the information that comes your way.
So don't just believe everything you read, even if it sounds really convincing.
Right. We need to get in the habit of asking those questions. Like, who created this information? What's their motivation? Do they have any evidence to back up their claims?
And if something sounds too good to be true or just way too crazy, it probably is.
That's a great rule of thumb. And remember, just because someone you know and trust shared something, it doesn't automatically mean it's true. We all have our biases, and we can all fall for misinformation, especially if it reinforces something we already believe.
So we kind of have to become our own fact checkers.
In a way, yes. We need to be more selective about our sources, more critical of the information we see, and more careful about what we share with others.
It sounds like a lot of responsibility.
It is, but it's a responsibility we all share. We can all play a part in making the information environment a little bit better. By being informed, by being vigilant, and by acting responsibly, we can really push back against misinformation, not just during elections, but in every aspect of our lives.
That's a really powerful thought. And I think it's a perfect place to wrap up our deep dive today. A huge thank you to our expert for guiding us through this really complex and important topic. And to all of our listeners out there, stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, stay critical. We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.